So it's Palm Sunday. I don't know how you transition from such a wonderful time of prayer. Can be sometimes a little bit of a somber time. To something so joyous as what Palm Sunday is. And we're celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry. But not an entry like most people thought would happen. And so we're going to start looking today at Luke 19. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want to read this scripture to you. It's Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to be reading verses 28 through 40 to you. And we're going to read this, and then we're going to talk about this part of scripture. So if you'll follow along in Luke chapter 19, God's word says, "After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill in an area called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say to them, the Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had said. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying my colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus upon it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And Jesus replied, 'I tell you this, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" This is the reading of God's word. A story you're probably familiar with, aren't you? It's about this time each year that this gets talked about. So here's the thing is, I don't want you to tune out and say, yeah, I know this. I remember it from last year. I remember this story. I don't want you to tune out. I want you to make sure you catch what is going on and why we celebrate and we wave palm branches. Why we get excited. You know, I think first and foremost, as I was preparing, I think about donkeys. You guys are probably thinking about donkeys all week, weren't you? I doubt it. I had a tough time finding one here in Lockland. I looked. Didn't find a one. What's up with that? You know, donkeys aren't typically thought of as very noble creatures. I don't know of anybody that goes, boy, can you imagine having a donkey? You have that thought, right? Having a donkey. They're common. They're kind of everyday. They're noisy. They're just your run-of-the-mill barnyard animal. Let's just be honest. They eat large amounts of food. How many of you have ever been around a donkey, by the way? I'm just kind of curious. Oh, more than I thought. You guys aren't a bunch of city people like I thought. They eat large amounts of food. They rest during the hottest part of the day. Actually, they might be pretty smart if you think about that. They rest during the hottest part of the day. You know, one of the things about donkeys is they do not like to be by themselves. They don't like to live alone. They like to be with a group of others. So all you extroverts went, yep, I get that. All you introverts went, nope, I don't think so. I like being by myself. You know, they're pretty small animals when you think about it. They're not suited for heavy farm work like an oxen. Of that day would have been used. They're not real regal. They're not real quick-footed. You don't think of a donkey as someone being very fleet of foot. Maybe like when I run. Wow, no laughter on that at all. I figured I would get some laughter on that. You know, they're most oftentimes, the role of a donkey was to be a pack animal. They are used to carry things for long distances, carry people from one place to another. It seems that that's their best skill. That's what they're best suited for. You know, donkeys are often known, though, for their stubbornness. Anybody tried to get a donkey? All of you that raised your hands about being around a donkey, have you ever tried to get a donkey to do something it didn't want to do? I got a hand in the back. They are fairly stubborn. It's probably, I don't have any facts to back this up. This is just me guessing. It's probably where we get the phrase, don't be so mule-headed, right? Or maybe you say it a different way. But don't be so hard-headed, because they're pretty stubborn. You know, one of the things, they are not very skittish animals. It takes a lot to scare a donkey. They don't run away from danger, because they're not scared very easily. They're actually pretty curious. And even though you may not think so, they're actually pretty intelligent animals. They examine things. They like to research things. Sometimes I think donkeys, I think about my younger son who loves science, and he has this curious, boy, I just realized that sounded really bad. I just called my son. Sorry about that, Josh. That was not my intent. Sometimes you say things and you don't realize because it sounds different in your head. That is not what I meant. What I meant was, is because donkeys are curious. And if you guys tell him that, I'm going to deny it, by the way. He gets done with college in 3 more weeks, and so he'll be home for the summer. So I will deny if you tell him I said that. But they are curious creatures, and this is what I meant to say. My son loves to explore and discover things and figure out how things work. And donkeys are very curious animals. They like to research, and it's probably why they don't get scared very easily in the sight of danger, because they're just trying to figure out, hey, what's going on? What's going on? They're not afraid to walk bravely in the midst of danger, even though that their lives may be in harm, which is exactly why I think they're probably an excellent choice for Jesus of an animal to pick to ride upon. They will walk right into danger. They will walk resolutely right into something. And I think about that ride. Because Jesus was on this donkey, and yes, there was celebration going on. And yes, people were excited because here comes the king. And yet, he was riding to his death. He was riding to his death. Now, while we consider Palm Sunday this triumphant entry, this march of triumph, cheers of joy were being shouted, right? You know, if I rewind, what are we now, almost an hour into service. Believe it or not, it's almost an hour into service. When we were waving palm branches, we should have been a lot louder. Yelling and screaming and waving palm branches, because that's what was going on. Cheers of joy. And the donkey just keeps on going. He just keeps on going. You know, this image of Luke, that you find in Luke of the donkey, though, it's an image of a simple barnyard animal obediently doing what it was told to do, even though he was, in essence, taking the king on a ride to his death. And so we're going to talk about some triumphal entries today and some of the history of it. You know, in Rome, there were Roman triumphal entries. It was the highest honor that would be bestowed or granted to emperors or generals who had just had a huge victory. And that's why they would have these triumphal entries. It would be a processional like none other. They would ride into the city of Rome, led by government officials, followed by sacrificial animals. And they would ride past the temples of the Roman gods. And they'd be followed in chariots, one after another. And there was regalia everywhere. There was purple and royalty. And these processions were incredible. And they were to celebrate victory. You know, in my mind, I think about things. I'm just kind of curious. When I was in school, I remember seeing pictures of ticker tape parades in New York City. Everybody know what I'm talking about when I say ticker tape parades in New York City? And some of the processionals, I think about after World War II that went on, and the soldiers came home. Or I think about when there was tremendous ticker tape parades for various events in the history of our country. And that's what I have in my mind's eye. Now, I realize they didn't have skyscrapers 20, 40, 50 stories high to drop ticker tape from in Rome. They had some pretty high things like the Colosseum. But that's what I imagine in my mind some of these parades and these processionals were like. Everybody turned out. And the best of everything. There was a festival. There was dancing. There was singing. There was shouting. Petals of flowers everywhere. And that's the processional that Rome was used to. But this was a different type of entry. Let's be honest. We had palm branches. And there was cloaks put on the ground. But the biggest thing that probably had to be a shock was at this time, those processionals would be into the city of Rome. This processional, however, was going into Jerusalem. The location of the temple. The location of the religious heart of the Jewish faith. You know, and it wasn't, as Rome would see it, this parade for the victory of a great war where perhaps thousands were killed. But rather it was a march towards death. Christ's death and his resurrection were an act of victory in a completely different way than the world understand. Jesus was illustrating that victory does not come through violence and the killing of millions so that we can celebrate, yay, we won. It was a different type of killing. It was a different type of celebration. And because Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself in death, not like a warrior would necessarily in war, but he did it for us. This triumphal entry took place at the beginning of a festival known as Passover. And so, seeming to mirror some of the components of the Roman triumphal entry, Passover is, and again, not about war, but about remembering the way God spared the lives of the Jews and the miraculous ways that he cared for them and freeing them from the oppressive Egyptians' rules at that time. This festival would be a stark contrast to the festivals that the Romans would offer and bring forth and participate in. Jesus instead seems to be highlighting the remembrance of the Exodus and pointing to a new Exodus of freedom, bringing an offering towards the temple. This offering was himself. That's the offering he was bringing. There also seems to be some parallels that while the Jews were celebrating the salvation of their firstborn sons, ultimately their salvation was arriving on a donkey. That's where their salvation would be coming from. Instead of a horse, let's be honest, if you're victorious and you're being celebrated, you would come riding in on a proud stallion or horse. And yet we see this young colt that no one had ever ridden. Very common. Very everyday. Donkeys, after all, as I said, they're pack animals, not war animals. They were a symbol of peace, not war. And he followed this obedience all the way to the cross. The phrase in the scripture that we read there in Luke, the Lord needs it. You ever thought about that phrase? The Lord needs it. And what did the owner of that colt do? I mean, after all, I suppose if to put it in modern day terms, we don't use colts to ride on, we use cars to ride in, right? Imagine if somebody showed up with your brand new, never driven, the car was just delivered. Try to make this as realistic today as it would have been. It was dropped off in your driveway, and two guys you have no idea who they are comes in and says, they hop in, they start the car up, and you're like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? The Lord needs it. And what did the owner do? Okay. We see nothing in the scripture where he was like, nuh-uh, get out of my car. Get off my colt. Actually, they weren't on the colt. They were taking the colt. Tie him right back up. It shows the obedience and the faith that the colt owner had in the Lord. Well, we don't know who this owner is. Wouldn't you like to know who that is? I have questions in my mind. They just keep racking up as I get to heaven someday. I have several questions. This would be one of them. A little bit farther down on the list. But who was the colt owner? Who was that colt owner that just so easily and willingly gave up his colt? The crowds appeared in celebrating Jesus' entry. And there's some questions about the motives of the people that were present in my mind. Are they cheering for Jesus because they know he's Messiah, who was about to lay down his life? Or do you think he's entering the city because they think he's going to overtake the city? He's going to come and rule how they had in their minds that this should be done. Probably in a very Roman-like way. You know, the Jews, for a long time, they just yearned, they longed for a Messiah. But there was a misunderstanding. If you've read about this section of Scripture in Sunday school at all, you know there was a misunderstanding about the Messiah and what it would look like and how he would act. These crowds quickly turned. Let's be honest, a little foreshadowing for the week. They quickly turned from waving palm branches, shouting and celebrating. And they quickly turned. And their admiration became shouts for death. Their admiration and their joy became violent. Let's be honest. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. You know, we are called to live as citizens in the kingdom of God today. We are called to pick up our cross and follow him. We are also supposed to walk the path of sacrifice out of love for God. We are also supposed to remember that ultimately death leads to resurrection. We are called to be peacemakers, much like Jesus was a peacemaker. While the world calls for change through violent upheaval, taking over, commanding, Jesus teaches people peacefulness and love. We are supposed to be humble servants as being part of that kingdom. We're not supposed to seek glory in the ways that the world does, to puff ourselves up, to receive material gain. We are to be meek and humble, like the example that we saw from Jesus. You know, many times as we look across a calendar, we have times in the church, much like now, much like Lent, where we celebrate and we remember. Advent, right? Pentecost. Other days that we are reminded to celebrate the victory of God, to celebrate what was done through Jesus Christ. We are to remember whose we are and where we have our citizenship. Our citizenship is not as Americans in the United States of America. Our citizenship is in God's kingdom. We follow Jesus. We are part of his kingdom. And so, as I kind of conclude this morning, this Lenten season is coming to a close, and we are reminded because of it where our citizenship lies. We are to be a part of the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom that looks completely different than what the world would want, desire, or hope for. We need to remember to follow the footsteps of our king, who rode in on a common barnyard animal. And he did it in humility, and he did it in obedience. We follow in obedience as we walk, and we take up and carry our cross, and we follow him. So we celebrate today our Messiah, who has come in the name of the Lord, not with swords, not with horses, not with hundreds and hundreds of sacrifices to Roman gods, but he comes in love. He comes in truth. He comes in peace. He comes in humility. And he is the sacrifice with the hope of resurrection to what we will celebrate next Sunday. So here's kind of my land, my line I land on. I hope, I pray that we follow passionately, not after the leaders of this world, not over the direction that the world say we should go, but we passionately follow after our Lord, our King, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's my reminder as we head off into this Holy Week and we prepare for Resurrection Sunday. Following the King, the one and only King, our Lord and Savior. So if you'll stand at this time, let me pronounce this benediction upon you. Again, let me remind you, Monday, Thursday service is at 8 o'clock Thursday. Good Friday is at 7 o'clock. And I want you to come and participate in that. And I know we have work schedules and all kinds of things going on, but let's take the time out this week and come and participate in those. I pronounce this benediction upon you. May the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may He be above you to overshadow you, be before you to lead you, be behind you to encourage you, be within you to live with you, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.